The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Chris and Nick Show here on Big Blue View Radio. I am one of the hosts, Nick Filato, joined as always by Chris Flum. And today we are going to go over the potential breakout players within this new regime of Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, Mike Kafka, Don Wink Martindale. Which one of the players on the Giants roster will break out and have their first big career type of year? Last year, we saw Xavier McKinney kind of scratch the surface of that a little bit, Chris, but let's start to go over some other players. We're going to exclude McKinney from this because, to me, I think he already broke out, despite the fact that I think he could even break out further. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I don't know if McKinney is a breakout candidate, but I think he does have a great opportunity to build on a really strong sophomore year. I think this defense is going to have a ton of opportunities for him to make big plays or hopefully, and I've talked about this before, almost be a ghost out there. Yeah, I think the best kind of safety play aren't big plays because that means the offense is testing your defense. I hope that McKinney is out there ripping pages out of the offensive playbook and they don't even think to try him deep, to give him opportunities for interceptions. Yeah, maybe the occasional big hit forcing a fumble and run support, that would be great. But I almost hope McKinney doesn't have a Landon Collins type season because I don't want to see opposing offenses feel comfortable enough to try and test the Giants defense like that. So when I'm looking for breakout candidates, I am still looking in the defensive secondary. And in particular, I'm looking at Aaron Robinson at cornerback and Julian Love at the other safety position, wherever he happens to line up.
If both those players could break out, that would be excellent. And in terms of Xavier McKinney, man, he's going to be used in so many different ways. And so will Julian Love. Julian Love is designated as a strong safety, McKinney as the free safety, but it's going to be a little bit interchangeable. McKinney is going to be blitzing, something he didn't do too often throughout his entire Giants career and NFL career, but something he did at Alabama. He's going to play the post. He's going to play the deep half whenever they do want to align in too high type of shells. He's going to play man coverage. I think his potential is sky high because of the roles that Wink Martindale is going to entrust into him. And in terms of Aaron Robinson and Julia Love, I mean, Aaron Robinson has the opportunity of a lifetime right now, but it is a lot of pressure on Aaron Robinson. I'm hoping he can rise to the occasion. I'm confident in his skill set as a player, his length, his man coverage ability, his fluidity, his athletic ability, all of those things. I'm confident in that. But you know, you have to trust your eyes, you have to trust your hands, and of course, you have to trust your feet, specifically when you have no help over the top. And I do love the Julian Love call, you know, no pun intended right there. I've been a big fan of Love since he came out of Notre Dame. I felt like that was an excellent pick by the prior regime. And he's somebody who's worn a ton of hats. And I think he is somebody who can have a really good season. And the Giants are really relying on a player like Julian Love. I also hope to see some Dane Belton, dude. I wonder if we can get like a little rookie breakout, you know, a little moderate breakout from a player like Dane Belton.
Well, if we're talking about rookie breakouts, Dane Belton, I think, is a solid choice. I think he's got some competition there from Micah McFadden and potentially Wandale Robinson. Just because, you know, Wandale Robinson, something happens to Kadarius Toney, depending, we don't know what this offense is going to look like. I think the Giants were very deliberate in picking Wandale Robinson. I don't think he was just the guy at the top of their board when their second round pick came around. I think they had a very specific role in mind. And it is very interesting to me that he and Kadarius Toney basically have the same skill set. So that is a skill set the Giants obviously want on the field. And staying on the field has been an issue for Kadarius Toney, even going back to his time in Florida. He has had a bunch of shoulder injuries. He's had some pretty persistent lower body injuries. That could open the door for Wandale Robinson to basically be a full-time player out there. And you start giving guys with a skill set you want a bunch of opportunities, good things can happen. I think that also bears true for Mike McFadden and Dane Belton. You know, both of those guys are experienced pass rushers, experienced blitzers, and we know this defense is going to be blitzing a ton, especially if the coverage in the secondary can hold up. You know, Mike McFadden, he was blitzing almost every other passing snap in college. Dane Belton was blitzing quite a bit as well. So I think the opportunity will be there for those guys to make the kind of highlight reel plays, the impact plays that really define a breakout season.
In terms of Belton, man, he was setting the edge. He was playing in the box. He was playing the apex, overhang defender, playing safety. He just did a lot in Iowa's defense. And I think you're onto something, specifically because Wink Martindale's going to use three, maybe even sometimes four safety personnel packages. He likes to get really creative with his defensive personnel and keep the offense guessing. And McFadden, who's ahead of Micah McFadden right now? If you want to blitz your linebackers, I think Tay Crowder can be an okay blitzing linebacker. I don't think he's a starting level linebacker, so McFadden could potentially steal some snaps away from Tay Crowder. And then you have Blake Martinez coming off of a torn ACL. Now, Blake Martinez is the most experienced and the best linebacker on this team by far right now. But if you look back last season at the way Wink Martindale used his defensive personnel, there was only one player that played over 1,000 snaps, and that was Chuck Clark, who only played in 16 games. So just one safety. And if you look at this, I think that player would be Xavier McKinney for the Giants. I think you're going to see some rotating at linebacker, which could possibly lead to Micah McFadden getting some looks on passing downs, maybe even Darian Beavers in certain situations. I think that's going to be a fun way to look at this. Now, in terms of Micah McFadden, I don't know if he's going to be a breakout player, but I think we can see, you know, the seeds to which we're going to be like, that guy should start next season. But if we're looking at a lot of these rookies, man, you brought up Wandale Robinson, dude, he was deliberately picked. That definitely wasn't like, oh, he's at the top of our board. The Giants traded down a couple times. Andrew Booth went the pick before. People speculated that maybe the Giants were interested in Andrew Booth. I'm not 100% certain because it didn't seem like Joe Shane was eager to select players who had injury history, and Andrew Booth had a huge injury history at Clemson. And they went and they, quote unquote, overdrafted Wandale Robinson. You best believe that dude is going to be used, especially if Sterling Shepard, Kadarius Toney, and Kenny Golladay suffer these injuries that they have suffered in their past.
Yeah, I think that is something to consider with when we're kind of forecasting potential players with the potential to have breakout seasons, I should say. And that is the starters in front of them who have had injury concerns. Yeah, you talk about Kenny Golladay, Kadarius Toney, Sterling Shepard. None of those guys have had healthy careers thus far. I think pointing out Wandale Robinson and maybe one of the other receivers who we talked about in our camp battles episode on the offensive side of the ball are smart to pay attention to as potential breakouts. Maybe we could see CJ Board or Colin Johnson step up and have maybe not a fantasy football shakeup breakout season, but step up and establish themselves as legitimate contributors, guys you want on your roster.
I'm just looking for plus starters, right? Like, that's what I'm trying to go for. And the one name that really kind of sticks out on the offensive side of the football, and he has to remain healthy, and we brought him up a little bit here, is Kadarius Toney. Because if Kadarius Toney remains healthy, which has been an issue for him, I think he has a Pro Bowl type of skill set. I think that type of potential is there for Kadarius Toney if he's fully dialed in and he remains healthy. We saw glimpses of it last year against the Saints. We saw it against Dallas before he threw a punch at one of their defensive backs. Kadarius Toney is unique, and I've said this before on the podcast. He might have the best change of direction of any playmaker in the NFL. Like, he is in that conversation. I am not one hyperbolic or anything, but dude, that guy, you get the football in his hands, he can make freaking plays. So if he remains healthy, dude, if you're going to ask me who is someone who has a real potential to break out, who hasn't fully broken out yet, Kadarius Toney is the first name that comes to my mind.
Yeah, I didn't list him as a breakout player just because of that Dallas game. Now, that was the only game last season he had that was anything like that. That might be the that might wind up being the best game of his career. We don't know. You know, I remember back when Odell was a rookie, we thought the catch, is that going to be the highlight of his career? No, hopefully not. Hopefully he will have a long and incredibly productive career, and that will just be one of many great games. He did rewrite the record books that year, but we haven't seen any moments that topped the catch yet. I don't know if we will get a better game out of Kadarius Toney than he had against Dallas, but hopefully he will at least become more consistent. It's kind of frustrating that he didn't top, other than the New Orleans game, he didn't top 40 yards in any other game to come out. And I think that is kind of the concern with him, where he could be kind of a feast or famine type player.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't disproven that yet, so we'll have to see it materialize on the football field. And there's one player, Chris, here on the offensive side of the football that I wanted to bring up. And it's an offensive lineman, so you don't typically see offensive linemen, quote-unquote, break out. But I would consider this a breakout if this player just becomes a serviceable starter that's not a liability in pass protection, and that is Shane Lemieux. What do you think of Shane Lemieux? I know it's hard to kind of formulate an opinion because we saw solid run blocking in 2020. He was a pretty big liability as a pass blocker, and then he was hurt basically the entire season last year. And now it looks like he has the inside track at the left guard spot, although I would say it's probably going to be a solid camp battle. You know, we just went over those camp battles a couple days ago.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I'm not sure Lemieux is a quote-unquote breakout candidate, just because it's so hard for an offensive lineman and an interior offensive lineman in particular to quote-unquote breakout. Like, you've got guys like Quentin Nelson. Yeah, everybody knows how great he is. Zach Martin, he fantastic player. But they were kind of known to be great when they came into the NFL. So they never really broke out. It's really tough for an offensive lineman to break out. He's going to have a bunch of really highlight reel blocks, a ton of pancakes, just be a snowplow out there for the running game, maybe get matched up on some of the really good defensive linemen and just completely stonewall them, that sort of thing. I'm not sure Shane Lemieux has that in him. I hope he can come back, be healthy, play all 16 games and be serviceable. That, I think, would be a great accomplishment for him, both because of what we saw from him in pass protection in his rookie year. He kind of struggled with it in college as well. He's just not a particularly mobile guy. But also just based on coming back from an injury, you know, I always want to see guys come back and be healthy.
Absolutely. And it's hard, like you said, for an offensive lineman to break out. But I think it would be a breakout if he's just a little bit more above average as a starting left guard. I think that's a breakout because, man, in 2020, he played, what, about 300 pass blocking snaps, 299. And he surrendered 5 sacks, 14 hurries, and 25 pressures. And I watched those games, man. How many times did he just get beat right off the snap? And Daniel Jones had to, like, instead of going into his 5-step drop or whatever, he had to drop back like 9 steps and just try to find his check down before getting obliterated. Like, we can't have things like that happen. We need a little bit more efficiency as a pass blocker. So that would be the quote unquote breakout for me. Just don't be a complete liability at left guard. That's where I'm going. But the name on defense, man, if we're not going to talk about those secondary pieces that we already touched on, Dexter Lawrence, right? Like, that's the name a lot of people are waiting for Dexter Lawrence to break out. A 6'4", 340-pound, 24-year-old who, if he had a couple more sacks last year, maybe we would have considered him a breakout because he did have 43 freaking pressures. And I feel like a lot of people don't like Dexter Lawrence, or they're like, he was a first-round pick. Why isn't he Jeffrey Simmons, or why isn't he Chris Jones, or why isn't he Aaron Donald? That's a little bit unfair, but I understand. Yeah, he might have been overdrafted a little bit. But 43 pressures isn't nothing to sneeze at as a 23-year-old freaking player. I still think that's pretty impressive. Now, if he could just get a couple more sacks, we're talking about a true breakout right here.
Yeah, and I don't think he's really that far away from being able to transition that potential, that upside, all those near misses into production. Dexter Lawrence is big. He's powerful. He's explosive. I don't think Wink Martindale is going to quote unquote waste him at the nose tackle position. That's why they got Jelly there. Lawrence is going to get a bunch of opportunities rushing through the B gap, get those one-on-one matchups, maybe get used as a looper on some stunts and things like that, because he's got the athleticism and mobility. Yeah, he's maybe not quite as freakish as the Georgia lineman that came out this year, but we hadn't seen many defensive linemen like Dexter Lawrence before he came out, and that is a very rare skill set. It isn't fair to compare him to Chris Jones or Aaron Donald. It's not fair to compare anyone to Aaron Donald. He is not human. I stand by that. But Lawrence has the potential. Really, he just needs to get to be a bit better with his technique. Get so he uses his hands more consistently, uses his leverage a bit better, and again, a bit more consistently. And then he can really unlock that power and explosiveness. And that's bad news for any offensive lineman he goes up against.
Yeah, I like how you put it. Don't waste him at nose tackle. I see a lot of people on Twitter be like, oh, why doesn't Dexter Lawrence play nose? He has a size. It's like, yeah, but not a lot of people with his size have his athletic ability. So it's better to align him at defensive end and just totally just make tackles and guards who have to double team him, or guards who have to try to kick out against outside zone to get him, or tackles who have to do that. You know, it's difficult to block somebody like Dexter Lawrence in those types of situations. And that's why he isn't quote unquote wasted at nose. But there are times and scenarios where you can align him at nose. But Chris, now I want to kind of go over some of the lesser quote unquote breakouts. And one player that I hope can break out, and this is somebody who, like I said on the previous podcast, I'm not even 100% certain he'll make the roster. I'm about, you know, 85% certain, but there are, you know, within the realm of possibility that something could happen to him and he wasn't drafted by this regime, etc. And that's Ellerson Smith. Damn, if there's one player that I want to break out, it's Ellerson Smith. Because could you imagine having a rotation, a young rotation of Kayvon Thibodeau, Azeez Ojulari, Quincy Roche, Ellerson Smith, and Jahad Ward at edge? How freaking sexy would that be?
That I think would throw back. You know, the Giants have their throwback uniforms out. Everybody's excited about that. Having an edge rotation like that would really throw back to the Steve Spagnuolo heyday of this defense when, you know, 2007, 2008, you had Strahan, OC, Kiwanuka, Justin Tuck, then JPP comes in, and this defense was able to send wave after wave of pass rushers. You could empty all the chambers and have, you know, 4 or 5 dangerous pass rushers going after the quarterback all at once. Or you could rotate them so the guys never got tired. They could be fresh as daisies for the final 2 minutes of the half. Yeah, something we saw the Giants struggle with last year. when they had to get off the field, they could not apply the pressure. If we could get Ellerson Smith to step up, Quincy Roche to step up and have it as much as possible, breakout seasons, could be 4 or 5 players deep with, if not starting caliber, then near starting caliber edge rushers. That would be huge for this defense. As much as Wink Martindale loves to scheme up blitzes, when you have just natural pass rushers, that makes those blitzes so much more effective.
And you know Wink Martindale would employ packages with Azeez, Kayvon, Ellerson, Roche, and then Leonard Williams or Dexter Lawrence. And it's just like, holy crap, there's a lot of speed, a lot of power, and just a lot to account for. And you're right, I can keep guys in coverage and just send forward and get home. If you can do that as a defensive coordinator, you're going to be happy. But Chris, I got one more thing for you, my friend, before we get out of here. Saquon frickin' Barkley. Now, he obviously broke out in his rookie season, 2018. 2019, suffered that high ankle sprain, came back, was a little down, I would say. And then at the end of the year, he truly broke out, tore his ACL in 2020. Last year, it was a disaster coming back from the ACL. Do we get another breakout of Saquon Barkley in his last year under contract with the New York Giants? Does he play to the performance that we saw in 2018?
Yeah, I think this would be classified as more of a comeback season if he is able to do that. You know, I think it's fair to have questions about Barkley, not about a straight line speed. That I don't think anybody can question. But what always stood out to me about Barkley's rookie season and his play at Penn State was how he was able to drop his hips, lower his pad level, and maintain his agility and explosiveness. That was, I think, what I really missed seeing from him last year. Once he got into the open field, once he was able to get a step, he was still plenty fast. He could still outrun a defense, but he didn't have the ability to play with his butt 6 inches off the ground, always be the low man, and explode in any direction. And that was what really made him special as a rookie. And what made his style, his moment-to-moment out-athleting style work. And if he is able to regain that ability, if all of the injuries haven't just accumulated and he hasn't been robbed of the ability to do that, I think we could see a comeback season from him. And we talked about this on the offensive side, our offensive camp battle show. I do think we will see quite a bit of healthy Barkley, if only the Giants want to rebuild his value for the comp pick on the open market. I'm not entirely sure that he is a Giant after this year, unless John Mara puts his thumb on the scales. But I do think we will see quite a bit of him, especially if he is healthy and has that agility and explosiveness.
Yeah, let's hope that we get a healthy Saquon Barkley, because I do believe he can have a really great comeback year as we look to the 2022 season. Chris, do you have any more potential breakout players here?
You know, as I said before, on the defensive side of the ball, I'm rooting for Jaren Williams. I would love to see him do well, if only as an undrafted guy who got his chance and made the absolute most of it. If he's able to be a routine contributor, I would consider that. Coming off the practice squad last year, the just disaster that was 2021, I think that would be a breakout for him. And also, you know, I would kind of like to see Davis Webb get a chance and maybe have a breakout type performance, even if it's only in preseason. This is something I'm upfront about. I've been a fan of his going back to the 2017 draft, going back to that Reese's Senior Bowl when it was raining. He got there and he just found any receivers he could to work with before and after practices. Like, just that kind of guy, I can't help but root for.
death, taxes, and Chris Flum loving himself some Davis Webb. Those are some certainties in life. And one more name I just wanted to toss out there is Daniel Bellinger. Yes, he was put on the PUP last week, but I still think he has a possibility to have a little breakout because the tight end room isn't necessarily too deep. You have any thoughts on that before we get out?
You know, I think he's got a great chance to be the number one tight end. If the, depending on how much of the Chiefs offense is in this kind of Kafka, Dayball offense, whatever we want to call it, considering how the Chiefs use Kelce, that could be a great opportunity for Bellinger. We know he's got run after catch upside. He could be an under the radar player to really keep your eye on.
We're looking forward to it, and we will be right here to cover the New York Giants. Please head on over to bigblueview.com if you want all of our written content. Subscribe and comment, like the podcast, and also head on over to our YouTube, Big Blue View. Check out all the videos. We will be covering the Giants really extensively throughout the season. Thank you so much, everybody, and have a lovely day.